Well, that's funny. Stand by one moment. We will be getting started here in just a second. I just have to go ahead and do something real quick. Ha, ha, ha. Funny me. All right, let's go ahead and do this. Do, 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 do. Cool. Like I said, for those of you just tuning in, I'm just giving people a little bit of time to get stood up, started. And I'm going to play something while I go grab something I just realized I needed in order to do this. So in the meantime, what in the goddamn hell is that? What do you mean it's not there? Are you out of your mind? It's right there. All right. So I'm going to... Oh, you know what? I have a new one. Let's do the new one. Come on, Post Lokens. Why is this taking so long? There it is. No. What? There it is. All right. I'm going to play this. I'm going to step out for a second, grab what I needed, totally forgot I needed, and then we'll get going. And then I'll give people time to come in, too. Welcome to the Ballbusters broadcast. I am the host who knows stuff, Daniel Christos. This show will begin in just a moment.
You're listening to the Ballbusters podcast. We now return to Ballbusters podcast, already in violation.
Okay, I'm back. So, let's get started, shall we? Oh, my daughter's in love with this thing. She bought it for herself when she was in New York. And, yeah, it's cute. She was in here earlier. So guys, just to get started here, let's discuss what we're going to talk about, and then I'll do what I need to do in order to make this thing continue. Stop screen. Okay, cool. And then we'll just put a new one on in a second. Bink. Bink. So when you don't have like a crew, like the Stew Crew, then you got to do it yourself. So where you see the bunny, you see also givesungo.com/ballbusters. That's what keeps this thing going, guys. Rendering time and all this other stuff that I need to do. I don't have a soundboard. I don't have any mixing equipment. I don't have anything as far as real immaterial that I need. The proper GPUs. Like, I could make this production look a whole lot better if DaVinci Resolve nodes would actually work in post-production, but they don't because I have a standard built into the motherboard GPU in this computer. The goal here is to build my own. I can do it. I just need to get the components, and that's going to run between that and maybe like a Rodecaster, right around 3, 5 maybe, depending on what components I use. But if I build it once and I build it right, then it's done. You know, I don't need to do 8K video or anything like that. 4K is even a little bit much. 1080p plays back better on most, on most players, meaning like the players that they use on these particular platforms. The best you can do maybe is like a little bit of a GoPro, but a scaled down version of GoPro at like the 1440-60 rate. But it's not necessary to do all that. You can still have a nice quality video. But like even the things that I use for, like right now I'm on StreamYard, but I'm on the plan that's only 720p because I'm not going to invest more until this is actually supporting itself. So the point being, if you guys enjoy the program, if you guys like the people I bring on and you guys get something out of this, the GiveSendGo.com that I don't always point at and always, you know, mention, because I'd rather you guys got, in addition to what you get from the show, like I have the Dr. Peter Glidden link in there so that you can actually get a bunch of information from an expert, you know, naturopathic doctor that can help you in your own personal life and all that good stuff. So that's the reason why I teamed up with that. And then there's the Copper Rain. And if anybody's used the Copper Rain and used my shipping code, send me an email. I want to get a tally of that. I want to see how many people have done it and how, and just what the quantity was of purchases that they did as far as like bottles or whatever. If you could do that, it's ballbusters@joshu.net. Real simple. ballbusters@joshu.net. Okay, so let's get started here. We're going to be discussing a couple things. And one of the main topics here, as you see in the description or the title, is Blood Clots 101. So I had questions. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the video that went a little nutty, as I say, because there was a love-hate relationship with it. And I thought I was just having a little bit of fun. I didn't take it too seriously, but everybody else seemed to think that it was something major. Upon that video, or after that video, I started doing some phone calls around various states to figure out, A, what an embalmer does exactly, what their credentials are, what their responsibilities are in the process that they conduct, and if any of them have seen anything interesting. But I didn't pose it like that. I said, when I made these phone calls, I said, what's the most bizarre things you've ever encountered while you're doing your job, the two-hour job that it is to properly embalm somebody's body? And the answers weren't exactly shocking. Blood clots, from what I gather from these embalmers themselves, are natural occurring things. Blood clots, blood, made out of blood, not made out of silly string. Like blood, okay, meaning red, meaning platelets, meaning all this stuff that is in blood. So it has a red tinge. It's not white. It's not orange. It's not yellow. It doesn't look like fibrous beef jerky all over the body. No, it's blood. Blood clot. Otherwise, you're talking about a different foreign object, not blood, in the same area. It's not blood, though. So that's the whole point of the whole point is that, hey, if you're going to call this a blood clot, there goddamn better will be blood in it. Otherwise, it's not a blood clot. It's some other thing that's in there, right? Okay. So when you look at blood clotting, what happens? Long-term illness, clotting can occur. So it's not just, you know, impact, you know, or injury that causes blood to send platelets and then coagulate around that, you know, platelet plug and then the coagulation around it. That's not the only time blood clotting happens. If you have an intrusion in your body of some sort of foreign harmful substance and your body identifies it as being harmful, it'll try to isolate it with blood clots. It will, you know, form for all kinds of different reasons, free radicals, all kinds of stuff like bad diet. And this is common, and this is just how your body operates to protect itself. When you get to the stage of like death and rigor mortis and blood not flowing anymore, then it would make more sense to me that something that would grow or expand or take over a spot in your body would be able to do that without getting mixed in with blood, because the blood isn't passing through it anymore. And if you're an embalmer, you could easily drain a body first, because you pull all the blood out and then you inject the embalming fluid. You suck it up like a mosquito and then you squirt something else in it, right? So in that process, they are used to as a primary function, taking all the blood out and then putting something else into the body. Embalming fluid, formaldehyde, right? So since they're used to that practice, wouldn't it be possible if somebody wanted to, I don't know, trick a bunch of people into thinking something's happening or intensify something that is happening to get attention to it, maybe for a good reason? Maybe they know that they need to shock value people in order to get their attention, and maybe it's for, at least in their mind, it might be deceptive, but it was for a good reason because they needed to draw people's attention to it And the only way they could do that is to have, like, you know, the big fireworks display. So they wanted to, then they maybe overdid it a little bit with their, you know, outlandish, look at this thing, it's like, I got a big one on, and pulls it out of the body, and it's a, you know, 50-pound catfish, you know, or whatever. So there's that. And if it was already drained and then something was inserted in there, injected in there, and then pulled back out for the camera, that's all I was saying, with that carotid artery that's white, not red, no blood mixed in with it at all, it just seems a little strange. And that was all I had to say about that. So I wanted to get some more information. I started making these phone calls around to embalmers, and I got more of just the generic information. Like, they didn't, these people talked to me for a while. Some of them I kind of knew. I've seen them in passing. I've used to talk to various people in the city here, in the official capacity of the city, for just various reasons, from sheriffs to police officers to, you know, court stuff to, you know, these people that work in the city. And I've seen them in passing, so they kind of knew who I was when I asked these questions. And there was nothing for them to be hesitant about, because I didn't ask it in an abrasive, what are you taking out of those bodies way? I wasn't an idiot, you know. I was asking them, taking interest into what they do, and they were more than happy to answer these questions. But when I asked them, so what are some things that are make the job harder? Are there anything, obstructions you ever have to take out? Have you seen anything like that more, you know, recently? And these questions, I wait for them to answer before I ask the next one, say, natural progression to where they start answering the questions without me having to ask. And the answer was no, there wasn't any major clots in any of these people that they've been, you know, the recent bodies. Has there been more? There's been enough tick everywhere, apparently, but I don't know if that was my general consensus that I got. They didn't say that there was more deaths. They just said that there was, everything's going as it was. So I didn't really ask that question, though. I was more concerned as to any foreign objects being taken out. And then I started asking myself, well, what does a coroner do? What does a person conducting an autopsy do? And then I said, but wait a minute, hold on. Why is the medical doctor in the hospital not noticing these things if they're trying to do interventive, you know, intervention here, medical intervention to save a life? How would they not see these things? How would it pass through their hands, through a possible medical examiner's hands, past whomever is doing an autopsy? And these are stages I was going through in my mind. And then all the way to where the embalmer, who's not a doctor, who can basically take an online course for 2 to 3 years and get an embalmer license, and that's the guy who figures this out, that there's something stuck in the body? It takes those many hands of quote-unquote doctors passing through before they can get to the point where it's some, you know, basically a 9-to-5-er guy who gets called in when there's an embalming to be doing, and somehow that's the guy who figures the big thing out, right? I just find it strange that you wouldn't see a 10-inch to 10-foot friggin' piece of rubber stuck inside of somebody if you were trying to save their lives at a hospital. So I started asking questions. So now let's go to let's start with a couple of these articles, and we'll just roll our way down. This is the first one that Josh brought up last night, so I'm going to present that one. Okay, just got to go like this. Bloop. Blippy. All right. This is KTLA, Las Vegas, or LA's very own. Yep. Man, 36. Numerology already slapping me in the face. Man, 36, dies in San Francisco after coughing up blood clot shaped like lung passage. This was on December 7th, 2018. This was actually on what day? What's December 7th, everybody? Pearl Harbor. That's right. Okay. And a 36-year-old man has died after suffering from chronic heart failure and coughing so severely that he spit out a bright red clot. Notice the color. And notice the name, red blood clot, red, okay? Perfectly shaped like the airway passage of his right lung's bronchial tree. The unidentified patient was receiving treatment for an intensive care in the intensive care unit at the University of California, San Francisco Medical Center, according to a November 29th article in the New England Journal of Medicine. There it is. Make sure you guys can see it. Well, make sure you can see it. Let's see, where is it? All right, so there's that, right? We got that going on. And then, if you, as you can tell, it's not very fibrous looking. It's not very... Let's even get a little closer. Probably not. But, and you can see how it's shaped just like the insides. So that can happen, right? But what's the color? Is it red? It's very red, right? It's very bloody, one would say. All right, let's move on. During the week of the his hospitalization, the man's cough progressed to producing up blood and phlegm. How about, okay. Just, I don't like the way people structure their sentences very often. To producing up. You could just say producing blood and phlegm. You don't say producing up. All right. During a rather extreme hack, speaking of the person writing this, the extreme hack, he coughed up an intact cast of the right bronchial tree, the article stated. The right bronchial tree consists of 3 segmental branches in the upper lobe, 2 segmental branches in the middle lobe, and 5 segmental branches in the lower lobe. The journal's authors wrote, the patient's trachea was subsequently intubated and flexible bronchoscopy revealed a small amount of blood in the basilar branches in the right lower lobe. The man was extubated 2 days after the incident and suffered no further instances of coughing up blood. He died 1 week later due to complications of heart failure, the journal reported. Okay, so that's part one. Yeah, nice. And then it says, this is another article from the same thing. This was published December 11th, but man coughs up blood clot, perfect image of lung. And there it is again, just turned sideways. And from the New England Journal of Medicine. I guess New England is San Francisco now. That's weird. You didn't ever expect that. From WebMD, December 11th, 2018. It looks like part of a lung, but it's really a blood clot. Notice the word blood and clot together, because it's red. Shaped perfectly like the airways in the lung, coughed up by a man with heart failure, according to the New England Journal of Medicine. Yes, cast of right bronchial tree. In this case, the man who produced this outsized clot had a ventricular device, a heart pump, implanted. According to the journal, he was put on a continuous blood thinner infusion and over the next week coughed up blood and showed increasing respiratory distress. Then he coughed up this perfect replica of the airways in his lung. Doctors later inserted a tube down his trachea into his lungs and found a little bit of blood in branches of his lower part of his right lung. He had no other episodes like the dramatic one, but unfortunately he died of heart failure. There you go. Pretty much the same statements there. And that's that. All right, now let's move on. But first, let's have a look at what that looks like. You know, let's put on the bigger picture. Somebody trying to call me? What you niggas want? Just kidding. All right. Let's see. This is a bigger picture of it. So you can see that. Now let's look at this. Does this look like that to you? Or that? I don't know. We'll discuss that other part later, but this looks like somebody made intestinal beef jerky. Right? And what the hell is that? Just dried up and old? This and that do not resemble each other. But anyhow, as we were saying. So I want to throw this in here because I find this horrific and disgusting. And this is happening in lots of places. This is October 3rd, 2022. So a couple months ago, doctors have a message for vaccine-weary Americans. Don't skip your flu shot this fall. What do you think they're going to hide all this stuff that they want to put in you? If you say, oh, I don't want the COVID shot, but I'll take the flu shot, well, guess what's going to be waiting for you in the flu shot? The same shit they wanted to put in your COVID shot. Because it's not about doing anything except for making sure they can get what they want inside you. Could you imagine this? And just think about this, because this is actually the reality of the situation. There's 2 warring armies about to go to clashing at the in a battlefield. They're about to clash. And one general says to the other one, you know, I totally want to do this and all, But here, before we get started, let me just inject all of you and your countrymen with this needle, with these needles, and then we can start the fight. Can we just do that first? You'd have to be an idiot to say, oh, okay, sure. And then you all drop dead and like, oh, doop-de-doo, just walk right away. No battle necessary because you're all freaking in pain, suffering, or dead at that after that. This is the actual situation that we have before us. It's like, oh, you know, yeah, I totally want to engage in you head on like a brave individual would, but let me just do me a favor. Can I just inject this into everybody over there first? And then we'll go, then we'll get started. I promise. After that, we can start shooting and stabbing and all that good stuff, okay? Get your axes out, sharpen them. We're ready to rock. Let's do this. Go all Braveheart on one another. But first, just let me give you guys all this shot. It's for your health. It's for your health. That's where we're at, and that's how people think. All right, get away from me. Seniors urge to get an extra strength. Extra strength. Hear that? Seniors. Your grandparents. Your great-grandparents. Targeted. Right? Because of the insurance, right? Because of getting the burden off of the money that they want to head off to places like Ukraine that just give it back to us anyway, you know, after they wash it, that type of thing. Doctors have a message for vaccine-weary Americans. Don't skip your flu shot this fall, and seniors ask for a special extra strength. And not only do they want you not to skip it, but they want, and seniors ask for a special extra strength kind. That really gets you good. This is evil. This is flat out evil disguised as a helpful hand. After flu hit historically low levels during the COVID-19 pandemic, right. And why was that? Because they just switched what was going on to call it COVID-19. It may be poised for a comeback. Oh, so based on the inferences and the maybes of people who don't know shit about shit, you better go out and get extra poisony today. A nasty flu season just ended in Australia. Yeah, sure it did. While there's no way to predict if the U.S. will be as hard hit as someplace across the globe that most certainly did not, last year we were going into flu season not knowing if flu was around or not. This year we know flu is back. We know this because we've said so. That's how we know. Because it's convenient now, said influenza specialist Richard Webby of St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. Hey, you know why St. Jude's exists? Because vaccines exist. That's why. Because these are the things that cause juvenile cancer in the first place and brain cancer. You know how you make St. Jude's close down forever? Stop doing compulsory immunization of children, and then there won't be any patients or impaired children for them to play witch doctor on, giving them chemo and torturing them further. I'm sorry, but my position on St. Jude's would be like, hey, would you rather continue to fund them so that they can continue to help quote-unquote children who are, you know, suffering from cancers and all kinds of other issues, or would you rather the children not have all these problems in the first place and change, you know, people who go ahead and take care of them afterward? We don't need them if there's no sick ones in the first place, right? And then we save all that suffering and all those deaths and all that heartache for the families, right? Wouldn't it be better to just stop the problem that's causing them to get sick in the first place? So sorry about my opinion of St. Jude's, but hey, wouldn't it be better to live in a world where they weren't necessary? Especially seeing how they don't do anything to help. All they do is take your money and quote-unquote care for your children, doing the same allopathic evil witch doctor BS pharmakia that kills adults in other hospitals. So annual flu shots are recommended. Starting with six-month-old babies. I'm pausing because that should enrage you. Annual flu shots are recommended, starting with six-month-old babies. If you're even considering that to be a valid statement and that you should go do that in order to protect your children, you should really learn a lot more about how illness works and what it really is to begin with. before you rush out because you think it's as simple as listening to the statism religion of allopathic medical monopoly advisors that you would be the ones who would benefit most from you doing that. This is evil. Do not just take this at face value. Do your own research on this before you decide to hand your child over to the bloody flames of the licking flames of this ball cult's Moloch in disguise, because that's what you're doing when you're handing them over for their immunizations. Flu is most dangerous for people 65 and older. Well, yeah, especially if they keep on getting the shots at 65 and older. That would make it pretty damn dangerous. Young children, pregnant women, and people with certain health problems, including heart and lung diseases. So all the people that shouldn't get shots are the ones that they're recommending getting shots. Did you catch that? All the ones that would impair and impact them the most deeply are the ones that they're recommending take them. And you tell me that there's not the same thing that they're trying to sneak into you with COVID-19 shots in these flu shots. Give me an effing break. Revved up shots for seniors. Oh yeah, I'm sure. As people get older, they get wiser and we have to change our lives. No, I'm sorry. It says their immune system doesn't respond as strongly to standard flu vaccination. There's a lot of logic issues with that. But anyway, this year, people 65 or older are urged to get back to get a special kind of extra protection. Of course, a special kind for extra protection. There are three choices: Fluzone High Dose and FluBlock. Oh, wow. That sounds like some stupid like marketing name, doesn't it? Fluzone and Fluzone High and Fluzone FluBlock. Okay. Each contain higher doses of the main anti-flu ingredient, which is what? The other option is Fluad, adjuvanted, which has a regular dosage but contains a special ingredient that helps boost people's immune response. Special ingredient. This is like listening to Billy Mays talk about things. This is like OxyClean. Seniors can ask what kind their doctor carries, but most flu vaccinations are given in pharmacies, and some drugstore websites such as CVS automatically direct people to locations offering senior doses if their birth date shows they qualify for extinction. Yeah, eradication. Okay. White House monkeypox response team says, okay, that's something else. All right, so Webby advised making sure older relatives and friends know about the senior shots in case they're not told when they seek vaccination. They should at least ask, do you have the shots that are better for me? Better for me. Better for what outcome, my dear? The bottom line is they do work better for this age group. Work better. Okay, all these cryptic, innocuous statements, like these cryptic statements that they're saying, better in what way? More efficient for what their agenda is and their objective and their actual sole purpose, their true purpose? If a location is out of senior targeted doses, it's better to get a standard flu shot than to skip vaccination, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. All flu vaccines in the U.S., including types for people younger than 65, are quadrivalent. And there's, like, according to them, 300-plus types of flu, but there's four that it actually works on. So that makes them useful, meaning they guard against four different flu strains. Younger people have choices, too, including shots for those with egg allergies and nasal spray version called Flu Mist. Yeah, straight it up into your head. Good idea. Why flu experts are on alert. Australia, which is completely detached from everything here, but, you know, Australia just experienced the worst flu season in 5 years. Yeah, my dog just had diarrhea, too, so I better watch out for diarrhea or something. That's not really a true thing, but I'm saying, like, well, how does this make any sense? In 5 years, and what happens in Southern Hemisphere winters often foreshadows what Northern countries can expect. No, it's the same process of people manipulating what happens there, also manipulating it over here. That's the common denominator there, said Dr. Andrew Perkos of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. All that should make you realize that they should be discredited fully and 100%. The people that also want to disarm you, teaming up with the allopaths who want to murder you, School of Public Health. And people have largely abandoned masking and distancing precautions that earlier in the pandemic also helped prevent the spread. Did it, though? Did it really? Or are you just saying this shit? Because it sounds like you're lying. It sounds like you're just making claims that have already been disproven. This poses a risk, especially to young children who may have not. So this was just they just said, well, it's too bad you didn't use your mask, and now you got to get this flu shot. Are you effing kidding me? And that's why there was no flu, because you were putting the mask on for COVID? Is that the logic here? That's how they explain away the fact that flu disappeared, and it was the same amount of number that would have been for the flu, now it's signed to the COVID scam? Okay, sure. This year we will have a true influenza season because Nostradamus Biden said so, and it's going to be a triple pandemic, right? A pediatric infectious disease specialist at Washington University in St. Louis. He said children's hospitals already are seeing an unusually early spike in other respiratory infections, including RSV or respiratory syncytial virus, and worries flu-like lies will strike earlier than usual, like it did in Australia. Yeah, let's understand first what is actually causing the respiratory issues, and if it's a neurotoxin rather than an actual virus, which still cannot be proven to even be a thing. And yeah, I'm going to drop a mic on that one. Mic drop on the whole. Tell me, show me flu. Show me virus. Show me an actual isolated of anything that you've guys claimed for the last 110 years. Go ahead. I'll sit here. I'll wait. And then show a control group for any of the studies that you did. Yeah, okay. You're a little empty-handed there. The CDC advises a flu vaccine by the end of October, but says they can be given any time during flu season. It takes about 2 weeks for protection to set in. Oh, right. Just like those 2 weeks of, well, you still died of blah, blah, blah. And certainly wasn't the shot because of that two-week window where the shot would have probably most likely killed you if it was going to kill you at all. The U.S. expects 173 million to 183 million doses this year. And yes, you can get a flu shot and an updated COVID booster at the same time, one in each arm to lessen soreness. Oh, lucky you. Flu shots of the future. Companies that make the two most widely used COVID-19 vaccines, see how they're conflating the two, obviously, right? Now are testing flu shots made with the same technology. Of course they are, because they're going to be one and the same to where you won't even know the difference anymore, and they'll stop using the word COVID altogether, and it'll just be your flu shot, or whatever the most common shot that people don't resist will have all the mRNA shit in it that you can imagine. When influenza mutates, the recipes of so-called mRNA vaccines could be updated more quickly than today's flu shots, most of which are made by growing influenza virus in chicken eggs. No, because there's not none of that right there. That's not what they're doing. Pfizer and its partner, BioNTech, are recruiting 25,000 healthy U.S. adults to receive either its experimental influenza shot or a regular kind to see how effective the new approach proves this flu season. That doesn't make any sense either. Because what does that even mean? To see how effective it is. Well, let me ask you this. How effective is not getting shot if you're in a room with no one else? Pretty effective, right? Do you think it's because you were wearing a bulletproof vest that you didn't get shot? There's no one else in the room. So that's why you didn't get shot, right? The bulletproof vest was inconsequential. It was superfluous, right? That's assuming that this particular thing even gives you any protection, and it doesn't because they're trying to protect you from pixie dust and fairies because this shit doesn't exist in the first place the way that they explain it in science. So if you are in Chicago and you don't get shot, and you're wearing a bulletproof vest, but you still didn't get shot. Was it the vest, or was it the fact that no one shot at you? See what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense to say, we're going to see how well this influenza shot works in people by giving it to them experimentally, and then what? Isolating them or sending them into whatever you would call a flu-infested area and see if they can come out the other side, like, going through purgatory in Dante or something like that. Like, that would be a good test of what your armor of God is, if you're going to be going through a place of complete infestation and then you come out feeling fine. But otherwise, how is this even a test? You don't know if you're ever going to encounter it in the first place. So how do you know how effective something is? None of this stuff is logical. I hate life in the world and humans most of the time. All right, moving on. So I wanted to know maybe this isn't, we're not ready for this yet. We want to go back to the, let's talk about the clots first, and we'll go to the other one later. Blood clots. Blood clots are clumps that occur when blood hardens from a liquid to a solid. Okay, this is the remedial version, I guess. A blood clot that forms inside of your veins or arteries is called a thrombus. I'm sorry. A thrombus may also form in your heart. A thrombus that breaks loose and travels from one location in the body to another is called an embolus or an embolism, right? By the way, these mugs are available too at CreateSpring. I don't ever put the link up anymore, but I will. All right, so a thrombosis or embolus can partly or completely block the flow of blood in a vessel. A blockage in an artery may prevent oxygen from reaching the tissue in that area. This is called ischemia. I don't know. If ischemia is not treated promptly, it can lead to tissue damage or death. A blockage in the vein will often cause fluid buildup and swelling. Mm-hmm. Causes. Situations in which blood clot is more likely to form in veins include... So now they're just talking about veins, all right? They're not talking about foreign object in the body, something wraps around it to stop it from harming the rest of the body. Because that happens. That's a thing. So being on long-term bed rest... Being sedentary causes blood clots. You're not flowing, you're not moving and jiving and getting your blood flowing, right? Sitting for long periods, such as in a plane or car, if you're blood clotting for driving around in a car for a couple hours, then you got some serious circulatory issues and some other things going on. During and after pregnancy, taking birth control pills or estrogen hormones, especially in women who smoke, long-term use of intravenous catheter and after surgery. Blood clots are also more likely to form after an injury. People with cancer, obesity, and lips. See this? People with cancer, obesity. Obesity is not considered an impact injury or a cutting or a splitting or a bludgeoning type of thing, right? It's just obesity. And liver or kidney disease are also prone to blood clots. So blood clots happen because there's a long-term illness or bad diet, obesity, right? Smoking also increases the form of... I don't believe that. Smoking their chemicals, yeah, maybe, but not just nicotine itself. Smoking their carcinogens and soul-shredding the chemicals that they add into their... I could see that. Conditions that are passed down through families. No, hereditary shit is nonsense. Factor V. I'll read it direct since this is what they're claiming, even though I know it's bullshit. Conditions that are passed down through families inherited may make you more likely to form abnormal clots. Inherited conditions that affect clotting are factor V, lead in mutation, prothrombin, GTO2, blah, blah, blah. If it looks complicated, people won't ask questions, yada, yada. Okay. Other rare conditions such as protein C, protein S, and antithrombin 3 deficiencies. Yes, just like when you have an aspirin deficiency, you need to get more aspirin. And you have mRNA deficiency for this, you have to go get your shots. A blood clot may block an artery or vein in an organ, affecting the heart, intestines, kidneys, legs or arms, legs, deep vein thrombosis, lungs, pulmonary embolism, and neck or brain, which is a stroke. Okay, we got that out of the way. Yeah. I guess I have a People's Rights Network thing tonight. All right, so what was I looking at here? Was there anything pulled open? No. Let me find. Yikes! We'll talk about that in a second. And just gotta get here scrolling. See me scrolling. There's a couple here. Okay, so I asked myself, show results for what does an embalmer do? And then it says, an embalmer prepares bodies of the deceased for funeral services, burials, and cremations. A mix of art and science, the act of embalming must be administered for legal, medical, and personal purposes. An embalmer removes the blood of the deceased and replaces it with preserving agents like embalming fluid and gases. Okay, so as run-of-the-mill, as a matter of course, a matter of, you know, their daily functions, they extract all the blood and put something else into it. So would it be that unnatural to think that in the process of putting something back into it, they had a little fun and did a little parlor trick? I don't think it's that out of the ordinary, especially when they're left alone. So there you have it. All right. What do embalmers do to the body? Embalming is a process where a process where natural fluids of the body are replaced via the arterial system with a solution to help preserve, sanitize, and improve the appearance of the person who has died. It actually turns them bright-ass yellow, but that's what the makeup's for. What is the difference between an embalmer and a mortician? What is the difference between an embalmer and a mortician, you ask? An embalmer is someone who prepares the bodies for burial by sanitizing and preserving them. A mortician is someone who works with the bereaved, helps plan funerals, and oversees the burial process. Usually the mortician and the embalmer can be the same person. This is me talking. Or it could just be they hire an embalmer to come in when they need them. So how long does it take to embalm a body? 2 hours. How long does embalming take? The embalming process typically takes 2 hours to complete. However, this includes washing and drying the hair and body of the deceased. This time may increase it if their cause of death has affected the body in any way. Okay. And is the brain removed during the embalming? These are all good questions, right? Do they remove organs when you are embalmed? One of the most common questions people have about embalming is whether or not organs are removed. The answer is no. All the organs remain in the body during the embalming process. And then you can use what's called an eye cap to put over the flattened eyeball to recreate the natural curvature of the eye. You can also inject tissue builder directly into the eyeball and fill it up. And sometimes the embalming fluid will fill the eye to normal size just by pumping it through the rest of the body. And it says, do you need qualifications to be an embalmer? Now, here's where we should start paying attention here. You can take a course online or in a classroom. Not both, I guess. I guess you don't have to actually do stuff. Courses take between 2 and 3 years to complete. You'll have practical sessions in an embalming theater. There are no set entry qualifications. So, there you have it. But GCSEs at grades 9 to 4 or A to C include English, math, chemistry, or biology. Maybe helpful. It could be useful. Is embalming hard? Becoming an embalmer can prove to be a very difficult task. The technical skill required by this trade obligates you to attend embalming school and aim towards an embalming license. So no, they're not doctors, everybody. They're not doctors. Not that that's even a thing anymore to be like praiseworthy, but I'm just saying they're not. Do embalmed bodies have blood? Well, if you've paid attention to the other three, the answer is no. But during the surgical portion of embalming process, The blood is removed from the body through the veins and replaced with formaldehyde-based chemicals through the arteries. The embalming solution may also contain glutaraldehyde. Did I do that right? Glutaraldehyde, methanol, ethanol, phenol, water, and dyes. Anyway, it has an OL at the end. It's an alcohol, right? Okay. The embalming process. I think that's about where we ended it. Okay, so embalming skills. You want to hear the skills of an embalmer? They must listen to others and ask questions. Understand spoken information. Speak clearly so listeners can understand. Read and understand work-related materials. Write clearly so other people can understand. Understand written information. Wow. That seems like a pretty hefty load of requirements there. All right. So, what are the responsibilities of a coroner? Listed below are these responsibilities and clarifications. Pronounce death and determine when the time of death occurred. This is a coroner, right? Scene investigation. That's if it's criminal, I imagine, or a body being found somewhere. Take custody of the body. See, these are not for every case, right? Make positive identification of the deceased, identification of and notification of next of kin, recovery of remains, death certificates, and reports. All right. Does every death go to the coroner? About half of all deaths are not reported to the coroner at all. As a doctor is able to provide a medical certificate cause of death, this is the document which allows the death to be registered. There are strict rules governing when a doctor may do this. And if they have full control over you at a hospital, then they stop all eyes at that point, unless they already own the coroner. In which case, they probably don't care who else sees it, because In the case of, like, oh, I don't know, when a body is found without its head in Arkansas and they say natural causes because it was a Clinton murder. That happened. That actually happened. I guess it would be a natural death because it would be pretty unnatural to live without a head. So they have a point there, because it's all in how you read it, right? And then also a medical examiner. So you have this three-pronged thing, right? So you have a coroner, which is one area, you have the medical examiner, which is another, you have the doctors themselves, but all the way down on the very end of the list, at the very last stage before you're getting thrown into the dirt, the soft dirt, that's when the embalmer steps in. So that has to pass through not all those hands, because not each one of those people are required in that process, but someone missed a big portion of what's wrong with you before handing you off to an embalmer, if the embalmer is the one finding all the clots. Okay, blood clots, how they form, and common causes. I don't know if I pulled anything out of here. Let's go to the next one. All right, so now here's some pictures of clots. But I said white clots, and then I saw this. This is why our white blood clots passed, and then I went over to here. It says new average. That's the wrong one. Let's see. Okay, that's a gross picture, but let's get talking about it. So, it says, why are white blood clots passed through the menstruation? And then they're talking about menstrual cycles and talking about how this was actually the entire lining of the uterus being passed during, and that looks it looks different. It's not white, it's not blood, it's the uterine skin, right? It's the tissue. So that's not a clot, but it's passed and it seems the same and people get confused by it. And still doesn't look anything like, oh, I don't know, that or that. And I doubt it would look like that dried up either. All right, this literally looks like beef jerky that I've eaten before. That looks like meat. And maybe it's a close-up of, I don't know. Who the hell knows? But there's your answer on that one. Okay, so we can try to drop that one. What are the three stages of blood clotting? Did we go through this already? I don't think we did. What are the four clotting factors? I think I had this already pulled open. Maybe it's the next one. All right, let's go ahead and just... Arterial clots are those that form in the arteries. Once arterial clots form, they cause symptoms immediately. Venous veins clots are those that form in the veins. Venous clots typically form slowly over a period of time. Okay. And this is, what are the four clotting factors? Clotting factors involved are pathways including factors, and then just Roman numerals, I guess, 7, 11, 9, and 8. Clotting factors, and so it doesn't help you anything. What the hell does that mean, right? What is the most common form of blood clotting condition? Antiphospholipid syndrome. There's that phospholipid thing, right? That Dr. Otis talks about with the diesterase and all that good stuff. Okay, so this is the most common acquired clotting disorder. APS is an autoimmune condition where the body makes antibodies that mistakenly attack cell molecules called phospholipids. Higher levels of APS antibodies in the blood raise the risk of blood clots. We might want to put a pin in that. What is another form of name of blood clot? Okay, let's see. Did that, is that all four? They didn't really say it, did they? They want you to click on it. Hold on. Let's look at a little bit closer. That's all from... and just also, source consideration here. This is NIH.gov, okay? You can't find shit about anything unless it... You ask, where can I find donuts? It's a NIH.gov Google search answer. Let's see. We got that one. What is another name for a blood clot? Thrombosis. Didn't I just click that? Who is responsible for... Who is responsible for blood clotting? Who, I tell you? Bob. Ah, see, I knew it was going to be Bob. No, it says platelets. Platelets, a type of blood cell and protein, is a protein in your plasma. The liquid part of blood work together to stop the bleeding by forming a clot over the injury. Yeah, that's the plug. But then there's a coagulation that happens after. That's the other part of the stage. Can stress cause blood clots? Effects of stress on blood. But... anxiety can also increase blood pressure, putting additional stress on the vessel walls, making them stiffer, and decreasing the amount of blood that flows through the body. Combined, these forces can lead to serious blood clots that can cause blockages in the heart and lungs. What is clotting factor 3 called? Coagulation factor 3, also known as tissue factor, thromboplastin, and CD142 is the primary initiator of the intrinsic coagulation pathway. It is the transmembrane protein that is constitutively expressed in subendothelial cells throughout the vasculature and is inducible on endothelial cells and monocytes. Okay. How can you prevent blood clots? Stay away from the COVID-19 shot. Okay, that's what it says. No, it doesn't. It says wear loose fitting shoes. Oh, that. And clothes. Cool. So there you go. If you're going to go get your bioweapon, make sure you're wearing loose fitting clothes. Raise your legs 6 inches above your heart from time to time. Oh, they say, get funky, girl. That's what that just said. Wear special stockings. Yes, do exercises your doctor gives you. Sounds like this might all be in the same category of one visit, right? Raise your legs in the air, wear nice stockings, do exercises your doctor gives you. This sounds like a rape. I don't know. Just you tell me. Change your position often. Yeah, see, now you gotta switch it up a little bit, keep it interesting, especially during a long trip. Sure thing. Suggestive language there is all I'm saying. What deficiency causes abnormal clotting? Protein C deficiency is a disorder that increases the risk of developing abnormal blood clots. The condition can be mild or severe. Individuals with mild protein C deficiency are at risk of a type of blood clot known as deep vein thrombosis. Put a pin in that too. Because we're probably going to find if these are actual true statements and the doctors even know half of what they're thinking they know, then if we do find some kind of evidence of these things being legitimate, something has to be stripping away all the other components save that one that doesn't look like blood that's forming. And then we'd have to find out, well, what is it stripping away from the body? And if it's pulling these certain elements out, then that's why we want to know about this, to see if we can get some kind of understanding pathologically what exactly is going on here and what the mechanism involved is. What cancers cause blood clots? Some cancers pose a greater risk for blood clots, including cancers involving the pancreas, stomach, brain, lungs, uterus, ovaries, and kidneys, as well as blood cancers such as lymphoma and melanoma. And the higher your cancer stage, the greater your risk of blood clots. So long-term illness, once again, and then blood clots, like I was saying. Can you feel blood clots? A blood clot in the leg may cause pain, warmth, and tenderness in the infected area. Deep vein thrombosis occurs. Guys, don't get panicky either. Unless you got the shot, then you should have some naturopathic doctor take a look at you. Not go back to your MD to tell you that you're acting nuts because you're looking at Google. Okay? Go to the MD, naturopathic doctor. Or jump on to my little link there that's underneath in the description to Dr. Peter Glidden, and then listen on that for a little while and see if there's anything to... But I mean, if you're having pain, you need to maybe figure something out. But don't get thinking that every little thing that you hear about is somehow now... Don't get all hypochondriac about it either. You want to hypochondriac about getting yourself the poison in the first place, so don't become a hypochondriac afterward, you know what I mean? Like, you can't... Don't walk up in everybody's face in the bar and start acting like you're tough, and then somebody steps up and says, okay, sure... That's not the time to be to cower down. You know, that's the time to say, okay, I'm standing my ground. I'm the one that pushed around. Now I'm going to have to stand it up. So, anyhow, what test shows blood clots? Here we go. That might be good. Ultrasounds. Duplex ultrasonography, sometimes called duplex scan or compression ultrasonography, uses sound waves to scan veins to check for deep vein blood clots. That's something we should keep a pin in as well, in case you need to ask for things specifically in order to get them to do stuff, right? What are 14 clotting factors? Let's see. Oh, these are just once again. Okay, factor 2, prothrombin. Fibrinogen, factor 1. Factor 2, tissue thromboplastin or tissue factor. Ionized calcium. Calcium. Labial factor or Accelerin, they just make up words, don't they? Accelerin, I bet it accelerates stuff, doesn't it? And it's for it, so it's pro. It's not against it, so it's not anti-accelerin, right? Stable factor or proconvertin. I bet that converts stuff. How do you want to bet? Anti-hemophilic factor. And you know that's so that hemophilia, right, is when your blood doesn't clot and you bleed out for little things. So the anti of that would be coagulant, right? Oops. All right, let's go back to me and my bunny. And on that bunny, you see givesango.com ballsaucers. Please do that. I would really appreciate that. So that was just a little walkthrough. When I go on with Mike Adams on Tuesday, I'm sure I'm going to maybe get challenged a little bit because of what I... Even though I didn't say anything negative to him, and I didn't say I wasn't challenging their statements. I was actually saying, why did they cut your part, guys? You know? But knowing that there's a you know, they're all friendly there, I'm sure I'm going to get some challenges as to why I made that video and how I perceived the information and things like that. And my whole point was, if you're going to be unstoppable... Look how crooked my finger is from that car accident. Unstoppable, unafraid, and uncensored. Well, then don't stop people from speaking. Don't be afraid about what they're saying, and don't censor it. Because then you just kind of lied about all three elements of yourself there, Stu Crew. So it is what it is. Especially when it wasn't that big of a deal. He wasn't like challenging their very existence. He's like, I don't think that... I cannot fully 100% blindly say that Richard Hirschman knows what he's talking about, or that these things could have come from somewhere else, and that it's really easy to turn on a camera and film something halfway through the process if you already injected something into something until it's time to pull it out, and then you're like, oh my God, look what I found. It's like a call to parlor trick. I'm not saying that it's what happened. I'm saying that it's possible, and if we don't explore that option first before we just start running down some path of hey, this is this and that is that, and these things are coming out of people, and then and make yourself an idiot, because if you don't know that that's true, and you invested all of your put all your chips on the table for that, and you find out you're wrong, nobody should ever listen to you again, because you're just jumped to conclusions too quickly. There. All right. Bye. Giftsandgo.com/BottleBusters. Please. These things don't happen without that. I spend a lot of time doing this stuff, guys. Appreciate it if you can. Also, tippystream.com. It's another way to do it. It goes through the PayPal. But there's also paypal.me/BottleBusters. paypal.me/BottleBusters also does the same thing as the Gifts and Go. Gifts and Go goes to a different account, but it's the same person, this guy right here. All right? I would really greatly appreciate that. Or just do the thing with the Dr. Peter Glidden and get something for it, besides all this awesome entertainment that I give you. Bye. I'm giving it a second, because I notice if I just click it right away, it cuts the feed too soon, and then you don't get to hear the rest of it. Just look at the description. There's all kinds of cool ways you can prevent the show. No, you can support the show. Don't prevent it. That's a lot of people trying to do that already. We don't need to help them. Bye.